Blog Talk Radio.
Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers, right? They beat the Chicago Bears, huh? I didn't see the game, but I know who won the game. So, wow. Those two power teams, though. I like both teams, especially since Jason Campbell was with the Chicago Bears. But we're profiling NFL head coaches today. And what I would do, it's going to be a brief profile. What I would do is do a rundown of the names of the head coaches and the different divisions. And I figured it out. Each Friday, do a special profile. So it won't be too brief because I know many of you are history buffs like I am and like to know a little info. This is just to get your get it started. Because many of us, you know, we do love the entire NFL, but we focus so much on our favorite teams and our favorite coaches. But it's important for all of us to recognize all of the head coaches, and also where were they before they became the head coaches of the teams that they're leading also, right? So I'll do a rundown of the name of the head coaches of each team. But then each Friday we'll do a breakdown of different coaches like AFC East, AFC South. And then next, you know, next week, another division. So we can get a little more, you know, a brief detailed info regarding who are the head coaches and what they're all about and their records and so on. But thank you. And there'll be special profiles. So we'll continue doing regular profiles regarding iconic figures in sports and also recognizing certain sports also. So, again, thank you for joining the sports edition of Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports. Remember, tomorrow night, that Delilah Purple Party. Super, super excited. The call-in number is 714-409-0614. And I'm headed to the chat room right now. So, again, I thank you for tuning in and just a big shout-out to all the listeners and supporters. This is the day. This is Friday, TGIF. Here's Teen Sensation, one of my favorite teen artists right now, David J. School.
Yeah. It's David J. Check it. Yo. Sitting down, working out my brain. I'm at school, but man, I know that it's lame. But I'm trying to graduate and do something with my life. And go to college, start a family, so get all my hype, yeah. And I'ma get an A+. Swag on my one, I ain't trying to ride the bus. Walk the stage with my peers, David Killen, see a year. Afterwards, celebrate, party, roll some way. Late to the party, cause the name is David J. You want my schedule, brother Nick. Mm-hmm.
and drop that shit for these fuck niggas. And drop that shit.
My goodness, check out SoundCloud. Oh, my God. I ran across that remix, which is a popular remix, when I was sent the song by Jay-Z and Kanye West, Click. But that's amazing. It's a hype song. I'm dedicated to all the winners out there. Bring that winner out of you. The winner is in you. If you know it or not, and I know many of you know that you're a winner, but some of us, you know, need to know, hey, pull that winner out of you. And dedicated to all of those that are playing games this weekend. You know, be the winner that you are. Win or lose. You gotta have that winning attitude, okay? Yay! Sports Friday is finally here. So let's go ahead and start talking about the profiles of the 32-head NFL coaches. And, of course, I am referring to Wikipedia right now, but I have posted articles and tweets and so on from Bleacher Report, and other sites, NFL.com, regarding the 32 head coaches, and also Bleacher Report posting that I shared is considered a power ranking of the top head coaches of the NFL. So check it out if I don't get an opportunity to delve into it. Okay, I'm not looking at the switchboard right now, but I will be in a quick second. I'm not in the chat room right quick because my mind touch was kind of acting like it had a little mind of its own and wanted to really get into talking about the current National Football League head coaches. And Wikipedia reads, there are currently 32 head coaches in the NFL, the National Football League. There were 11 head coaching changes during or immediately following the 08 season, setting an NFL record. Andy Reid of the Philadelphia Eagles has been with his team since 1999 NFL season, longer than any other current head coach. Okay, so you never know. Might ask you a trivia question in the near future, you know? So remember, Andy Reid of the Philadelphia Eagles has been with his team since 1999 NFL season, longer than any other current head coach. Bill Belichick has won the Super Bowl 3 times with his current team, the New England Patriots, making him the leader among all current head coaches. The other 4 current coaches that have led their team to a Super Bowl victory are Tom Coughlin of the New York Giants, Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Sean Payton, Coach Sean, what's up, of the New Orleans Saints, my friend, and Mike McCarthy of the Green Bay Packers. 5 head coaches, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Lovie Smith, and Mike Smith, have won the AP Coach of the Year Award for coaching their current team. And there's a picture of Andy Reid pictured, and then there's a picture also of John Harbaugh, the current head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and then there's a picture of Bill Belichick, whom has won 3 Super Bowls with his New England Patriots team more than any other active team. Arizona Cardinals. Coach Ken Wisenhunt, he was hired in 07, and his record is 40-40. His accomplishments are NFC Championship, NFC West Championships, and playoff berths. And the previous coach was Dennis Green. Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith, and he's been the coach of Atlanta Falcons since 08, and his record is 43-21. And his accomplishments are NFC South Championship, playoff berths, AP Coach of the Year Award, and the previous coach was Bobby Petrino. Then there's the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh, hired 08, record 44-20. His accomplishments, AFC North Championship playoff berth. Brian Billick was his previous coach. Buffalo Bills, Chane Gailey, he was hired in 10. And his record is 28-36. And there's no accomplishments, but I'm sure he's had some success. This is regarding the NFL accomplishments. Previous coach, Dick Doran. Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera. He was hired last year, 2011. And his record is 6-10 and no accomplishments yet. And his previous coach was John Fox. Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith. 04, and his record is 71-57. His accomplishments, NFC Championship, NFC North Championship, playoff berths, AP Coach of the Year Award, and Dick Jarring was his previous coach. Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Lewis, hired in 03. His record, 69-74-1. AFC North, two AFC North, 3 playoff berths, and 1 AP Coach of the Year Award. Dick LeBeau was his previous coach. Cleveland Browns, Pat Shurmur, hired in 11. 4-12 is his record. No accomplishments yet in the NFL. Eric Mangini preceded him. Dallas Cowboys, Jason Garrett, hired 2010. You're talking about advancing up the ranks. He literally moved up in the company, right? His record, 13-11. No NFL accomplishments yet. Wade Phillips was the coach before him. Denver Broncos, John Fox, hired in 11. His record is 81-79. His accomplishments, 1 NFC championship, 3 NFC South championships, one AFC West championship, and three playoff berths. Previous coach, Josh McDaniels. Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz, hired in 09, 1830, his record, one playoff berth. Rod Marinelli was his previous coach. Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy, hired in 06, record 63-33. His accomplishments, one Super Bowl championship, one NFC championship, two NFC North championships, and four playoff berths. And Mike Sherman was the previous coach. Houston Texans, Gary Kubiak, Gary Kubiak, I said if I said it right the first time, 06, 47-49 is the record, one AFC South championship, one playoff berth. Dom Capers was his previous was the previous coach of the Houston Texans. Indianapolis coach Chuck Magano just hired this season, 12-0-0 record, no accomplishments yet. Previous coach Jim Caldwell. Jacksonville Jaguars Mike Mularkey just hired this season, 12-14-18. Jack Del Rio, previous coach. Kansas City Chiefs, Romeo Crennel, 12, just hired. All these new hires in a row. 26-41 his record. No success, accomplishments yet in the NFL. Todd Haley. Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin, just hired. 2012-00 his record. No NFL accomplishments yet. Tony Sparano, previous coach. Minnesota Vikings, Leslie Frazier. Native Mississippi, hired in 10. His record is 6-16, no accomplishments yet. Brad Childress was the previous coach. New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, hired in 2000. His record is 175-97. Three Super Bowl championships, five AFC championships, nine AFC East championships, 10 playoff berths, two AP Coach of the Year Awards. Pete Carroll was the previous coach of the New England Patriots. New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, hired in 06, and he was hired from the Cowboys, if you all remember. 62-34 is his record. His accomplishments, one Super Bowl, one NFC championship, three NFC South championships, three playoff berths, and one Coach of the Year Award. Jim Haslett was the previous coach of the Saints. Who that? New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, hired in 04. 142-114 is his record. Two Super Bowl championships, two NFC championships, three NFC East championships, two AFC Central championships, nine playoff berths. Jim Fassel, previous coach. New York Jets, Rex Ryan, 09. Record 28-20, two playoff berths. Eric Mangini was the coach before him. Oakland Raiders, Dennis Allen, just hired, new hire. 0-0 record, no accomplishments yet in the NFL, and Hugh Jackson was the coach before him at with the Oakland Raiders. Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid, hired 1999. He's the longest, you know. He's the head coach that's been holding the head coaching position forever in the NFL. So remember that. Might be a trivia question in the near future. 126-81-1 is his record. And his accomplishments, one NFC championship, five NFC East championships, nine playoff berths, one Coach of the Year award. Ray Rhodes, previous coach. Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, hired 07, 55-25 record. His accomplishments, one Super Bowl championship, two AFC championships, three AFC North championships, and four playoff berths. Bill Cowher before him, of course. San Diego Chargers, North Turner, hired in 07, record 106, 113, one. His accomplishments, three AFC West championships, one NFC East championship, four playoff berths. Marty Schottenheimer before him was the coach. San Francisco 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, just hired last year, 11, record 13-3. His accomplishments, one NFC West championship, one playoff berth, also Coach of the Year Award. Mike Singletary, what's up, Mike? Coach before him. Seattle Seahawks, right now, Pete Carroll, love him. Hired in 10, record 47-49. Accomplishments, one AFC East championship, one NFC West championship, and three playoff berths. Jim Elmore with the previous coach. St. Louis Rams, Jeff Fisher, hired in 12, record 142-120. His accomplishments, one AFC championship, one AFC Central championship, two AFC South championships, and six playoff berths. Steve Pagnuolo was the coach before him. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano, 12, record zero because he's a new hire. Accomplishments, not any yet. Raheem Morris. Where is Raheem Morris now anyway? Coach before him. Tennessee Titans, Mike Munchak. Hired last season, 11. His record's 9-7. No accomplishments yet. Jeff Fisher before him. Washington Redskins, Mike Shanahan. Hired in 10, record 154-110, and two. I'm still getting over that Jeff Fisher is not the coach of the Titans anymore. Okay, two Super Bowl championships, two AFC championships, three AFC West championships, and seven playoff berths. And Jim Zorn was the coach before him. So that's kind of wow. Pretty cool. Let's see. Have more. Wait a second. It is Friday, the 14th, right? Happy birthday. Today's your birthday. Today's my cousin Reginald White's birthday. Happy birthday, cousin Reggie. I knew it was somebody's birthday, and then looking at the Facebook page, I see it's a lot of people's birthday. I see it's my cousin's birthday. But I knew, I was like, it's one of my relatives' birthdays today. No, Monday is B.B. King. Really? Sunday is the 16th, B.B. King's birthday. And my friend June Wee of Ridgewood Alterations and Customs. Okay, wait a second. Okay, I'm looking at this info right quick. This is the list of head coaches and coaches. Oh, okay, then you want to check out Wikipedia because there's also a list of head coaches who have coached for a National Football League team since 1920 when the league was founded, and then there's a list also that includes coaches in the American Football League, which merged with the NFL in 1970 during a separate existence from 60 to 69, and the history and records of AFL were incorporated into the NFL. You know, last season we talked about, we broke down a lot of the coaches, so you know, we want to really go back into history, but we're right now focusing on the current coaches of the NFL. So that's some really cool information regarding NFL coaches and so on. Let's see. Wait. I don't want to I'm trying to head back to my screen. But we'll talk more about the head coaches and profiling the head coaches. But I think it's time to play a couple PSAs and also a couple more songs. And then we'll resume talking about head coaches. And I also want to see if any of you are calling in or chatting with me in the chat room also. And maybe my touch would get to get back on track and I won't have to leave the switchboard screen or leave out the chat room to refer to what we're talking about this morning. And that's the 32 awesome head coaches of the NFL. And what's up to the commission also? Not being too hesitant. Okay, so it's time for a couple of PSAs. And I'm going to head into the chat room to see what's happening up in there. But while we're at it, check out, you all heard me shouting out Lady Lawless and the Boss Ladies up there in New York, Long Island. Here's a tune from the ladies, Queen Sing. Lady Lawless, what's up?
Yeah, this that SOG boss lady, Lawless, banging out with my favorite DJ, OG Pimpin, and that Wolfpack gang. From 516 to NC, we keep banging. We get money over here, bitch. Look this way. Yo, OG Pimpin, throw us some Lawless shit. Now where my hood bitches at, huh? Here,
okay. You with me?
Now where my get money bitches at?
Okay.
Let that track breathe for a second.
Wait,
I know how it's about to go down. Lady Lawless.
Her Highness.
Okay. Queen of Fiend. Since Lil' Kimmy slutter him and Fox Boogie bumped him, Remy Potty dumped him, Lady Lawless lumped him. It ain't nothing, you know they scrambling. Did the act, matter of fact, would bring candling.
Yeah.
the boss ladies, hardcore, right? Yeah, I know. Okay. Here, love those ladies. They are cool to network with. Man, oh, man, I can't wait to see them perform live. Wow. Here's a PSA from the American Lung Association.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
This is Janice Nolan for the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
And that's an important, two important PSAs from the American Lung Association. You know, we have to listen, and we have to do what we need to do to make our communities improved communities. And MLB, it's community fans and sports fans. I love baseball also. So we would do our best to talk more about baseball, MLB day, and in the near future. I get a lot of info from the Rangers and then also from the MLB, period. So you all baseball fans, feel free to call in also to update us. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath before taking this call. Because it says unknown, and it's good when you know where a call is coming from. haven't had any crazy pranksters or cyber bullies in the chat room, so hopefully this is someone who wants to have a civil conversation regarding sports or entertainment and lifestyle news. Hello, what's up?
Hey, girlie, my name's Brandon. I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Brandon?
I am rocking and rolling this morning.
That's right. So what's on your mind?
Hey, got a question for you. I know you're talking NFL.
NFL, sports period.
Heck yeah. So I wanted to talk about Jay Cutler a little bit.
Oh, please do.
And wanted to see what your thoughts were on how he handled the situation in the game with the Packers last night. With his offensive lineman.
I didn't see the game, but I would like to hear your perspective. I'm sure other Packers and Chicago Bears fans would like to hear your point, too.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay, I was watching the game. What happened was Jay Cutler was frustrated with his offense. So what he did was he actually reamed one of his tackles because he wasn't providing enough coverage. And took it under his own authority, I guess, to reprimand his lineman. And I wanted to point out that, in my opinion, I think that Jay Cutler is starting to get too much of an ego, and he's really starting to become more than I think that he realizes that he is. And I think he's really starting to get out of hand and take control of the team when it's not his job to do so. He's acting like a head coach.
He's acting like what?
A head coach. I think it's getting out of hand and it's starting to spin out of control. And I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
You think it's affecting the team?
I do. I think it's a negative thing. I mean, the quarterback's the leader of that team, so they're going to look up to him. Yeah. And if they don't like the way he handles the situation and they don't respect him, I mean, my goodness, they're the ones protecting him. He's got to treat him right.
What do you think is causing him to act and react the way he's been acting? And it's at the beginning of the regular season.
I know. Everything just started. I think a lot of it is personally his ego. Again, like I said earlier, I think that now that he's starting to get comfortable, I think that his ego is getting in the way of him being successful. I'm not a fan of Cutler. But he has a great arm.
Yes. You know true talent when you see true talent.
Amen. Yeah. That's pretty much all I had to share today. I mean, I wanted to kind of get your perspective, too, and see what you thought.
Even though I didn't see the game last night, I have noticed that. Wow. I do notice that it's different NFL players, and I have noticed that with him also. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the game last night. I've noticed it just with his persona. So I don't know, maybe it has something to do with being a franchise quarterback player and being somewhat of a celebrity also, because he's, popular, not just in the sports world, but just out there being a well-known celebrity. But I think he should stay focused on the game at hand and focus on the point that he is the leader of the team. So even though I didn't see the game, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that doesn't sound good what you are sharing, because he needs his fellow teammates to cover him. Also, and the morale of the team is so important. That's why I was concerned about regarding the Cowboys. Because that team is a real structured team, but I was very concerned how Romo would play the first game against the Giants.
Right.
And he showed up and showed his leadership skills. And all 32 players, and a lot of sports fans, and a lot of players and executives listen to this show. So, we're just sharing our concerns that we want our favorite players. We know that they're celebrities, but we want to see, you know, teamwork pretty much, and we want to see leaders be leaders, like our quarterbacks, for instance.
Right, exactly.
Because Drew Brees better not get that attitude. You know, he's one of my favorite, obviously. You know, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I need to watch the game, so I have to watch the replay. But wow, do you think he realized it?
I hope so. I don't think he does. I mean, I remember the first thing that really turned me off to Jay Cutler this season was after the game, the opening game, he was complaining about the fans. And basically saying at the press conference that they need to be smart fans and they need to not cheer as loudly when they have the ball in the red zone and they're trying to score. So he basically reprimanded the fans after the first game to be smart fans and not stupid fans and not cheer when he's trying to communicate with his team, which, I mean, it's a good point, but it's how you convey that information to the fans.
Exactly. And fans, our feelings get hurt very quickly.
Yep.
We'll stop here, period.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wow.
Yep. All right, well, I'm going to hop off here. I want to hear what you have to say, and it was just an absolute pleasure chatting with you this morning.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Please call back also, okay?
Will do. Take care.
Okay. What's up to Ohio?
Hello.
What city again?
Columbus.
Oh, yeah, Columbus. Oh, my God, the home of Lewis Howes.
Lewis Howes, home city.
Okay, I love him so much. He's such an inspiration. Okay, well, you have a fun weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, you're welcome. Wow, that was cool. That's a good perspective. If any of you noticed that, please call in regarding Jay Cutler's attitude on the field amongst his teammates. And also, is it important to you all how your favorite players interact with you on and offline? You know, online and then in person when you do get an opportunity to attend games or meet with them at meet and greets. And, you know, we understand that they're working, but we're excited, right? We fans, we're excited, and we like to cheer on our favorite team and let them know, hey, you can do it, right? So what are your perspectives? Brandon brought up some awesome points during our brief conversation. And thank you again, Brandon, and please call back in the very, very near future. Wow. I said at the beginning of the show that I didn't see the game, but did some of you see what Brandon saw?
Hi, I'm Sean Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance, to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Austin Brown, he's so awesome. He's my friend, one of my favorite Facebook friends, artist Terry G of Paris, France. He's recently released a new video, and you all need to check out that video. Like his fan page at Terry G for J-E-E at Facebook, okay? It's Terry G, and check him out also at SoundCloud.com.
Thank you.
I want you back. I want you back. Terry G, love it. Here are a group of my friends in the Lone Star State. The Big Zach, Big D. What's up, guys? Scott and everybody, Wes Ford and the Foundry. speaking of Dallas, Texas, and Dallas Cowboys based right in Dallas, Texas. Wes Ford and the Foundry, hold me down. Foundry, like their Facebook fan page, plus fan the band at Reverb Nation. Wes Ford and the Foundry, spelled F-O-U-N-D-R-Y. Okay? Also, we'll be uploading more music. Also, need to learn more about the band. And also, I'm at Reverb Nation also. That's a good way for artists. Oh, I love networking with artists on that. I haven't uploaded any audio yet, but that is a good way for artists to get music to me to download to play on the show also. That's how I met Sistreme, Woody, and many other artists, Draft, et cetera. And lot of mainstream and underground independent artists on network on Reverb Nation. So you can find me there at Miss Beth Nelson, Purple Bazaar Love Fest, and also I have a label page, Culture Shock Entertainment, KULTRESHOKENTERTAINMET. Right? Oh, my goodness, that's a lot. But here are notes to go with the information that I shared regarding the 32 NFL head coaches at Wikipedia. And the note states, number one, each year is linked to an article about that particular NFL season. Two, Bob Petrino resigned after week 14 of the 2007 NFL season, causing assistant coach Emmett Thomas to be appointed as the interim coach of the remainder of the season. The third note states that Dick Jarwin was fired 9 games into the 09 NFL season, causing defensive coordinator Perry Feewell to be appointed as the interim coach for the remainder of the season. And then the fourth note states that Jason Garrett, who is the Cowboys' assistant head coach, was named as the interim coach of the Dallas Cowboys on November 9, 2010, after head coach Wade Phillips was fired mid-season after a 45-7 loss to the Green Bay Packers, making the Cowboys 1-7 on the season. Jason Garrett was hired as the full-time head coach following the season. And then the fifth note states that Josh McDaniels was fired after week 13 of 2010, and RB coach Eric Studeville was named as the interim head coach. And then Mississippi native Leslie Frazier, who was the Vikings defensive coordinator, was named as the interim head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on November 22nd, my mom's birthday, 2010, after head coach Brad Childress was fired midseason after a 31-3 loss to the Green Bay Packers, making the Vikings 3-7 on the season. Leslie Frazier was hired as the full-time head coach the following season. And then, last but not least, the seventh note states that Michael Singletary was originally hired as the interim coach of the 08 NFL season after head coach Mike Nolan was fired midseason. After the 08 season end, San Francisco hired Singletary as their full-time head coach. Singletary was fired on December 26, 2010, following a 25-17 loss to the St. Louis Rams, and defensive line coach Jim Tomsula served as interim head coach for the rest of the season. And so some of the references where Wikipedia compiled this information are the new NFL record for head coaching changes in sight, NFL.com, Bill Belichick, Pro Football Reference, NFL History, ESDSFootball.com. Let's see. You know, some of you, it's good to know. Yeah, Pro Football Reference. Information was compiled from there. AZCentral.com regarding subjects like the Chiefs fired Todd Haley from the Cardinals. Let's see. Okay, those are pretty much the different places. Pete Carroll says coaching job, Seattle Seahawks, Los Angeles Times. Jeff Fisher introduced as the Rams coach. Raheem Morris fired, ESPN.com. Those are just the different references. Okay, we're going to break it down in the future and do a future broadcast. And talk more about different coaches. And you all call in and talk, just like Brandon did this morning. Even he said he's not a fan of Jay Cutler, but he does recognize Jay has been a leader and a talented athlete. And that's good to hear people share their views objectively, right? And it sounds like he really wants to see Jay Cutler do better and work more as a team player. But we would do special profiles and still do profiles, not to be taken away from other people and subjects that we should be profiling. But because this is the beginning of the regular season, I think it is important for us. And so I know, you know, different people, different types of sports fans do listen to the show. From those that work in sports, athletes, sports lovers, international listeners that would like to know more about the NFL, especially. And so it's just important to to just, you know, to educate ourselves and to know what's going on and who's who. And I know some of my fellow sports fans, sometimes you're watching the game and your significant other or friends that really don't watch football a lot or learning, they're asking, well, who is that? Who is that? You know, this is a time for people to, like, tune in and to call and educate and share your thoughts regarding your favorite teams. And this way we're involving the entire league into it. You're not just hearing me and my friends like Reg Ruffneck and others just talk about, like, our favorite teams like the Saints and the Cowboys. Doing a breakdown and profiling all the coaches and talking about all the teams, this opened the doors to, you know, all sports fans to call in and chat in the chat room and just talk about sports, period, you know, and what's going on with the games, like, oh, Brandon called this morning to get my perspective, and I didn't see the game, but I'm definitely interested in, well, in what happened, and I got to watch this replay of the game. But again, in the future, we're going to break down AFC East, NFC East, AFC North, NFC North, AFC South, NFC South, AFC West, NFC West. And you know, we got the NBA coming up. So we're going to be educating and talking about the leaders and executives in NBA. We're in the playoff season with the baseball league, Major League Baseball. And then not to mention other sports that we need to talk about, from tennis to golf to boxing, UFC. I can't wait to Tomahawk is a guest on the show, so we can talk a lot about martial arts and fitness and health and all that. Fitness, that's all a part of talking sports, right? And so we can talk more about martial arts. And also, and Marcus Patrick, you know, he's an expert on martial artist also. I mentioned he and his wife the other day also. So it's, I mean, we just can dwell on and on and on, really, and talk about different subject matters. But again, AFC East, NFC East, AFC North, NFC North, AFC South, NFC South, AFC West, and NFC West. American Football Conference, you know, that's what the AFC is. I know it's a veteran fans, I know, you know this, but there are people that are want to know what does the acronym mean. NFC, National Football Conference. And so we're going to talk about, next week, we're going to talk about AFC East coaches. AFC teams are, AFC East teams are Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, what's up, Rich Bush, New Orleans Patriots, New York Jets. NFC East teams are Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins. So next Friday, the Sports Edition Friday, we're going to break it down and we're going to do special profiles in regards to AFC East, the American Football Conference teams, coaches, head coaches. Shane Galley is the head coach of Buffalo Bills. Joe Philbin, head coach of Miami Dolphins. Bill Belichick is the head coach of New England Patriots. Rex Ryan, whose brother is on the coaching staff of the Dallas Cowboys, New York Jets. And we're going to talk about NFC East. Jason Garrett is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Tom Coughlin, New York Giants. Andy Reid, Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Shanahan, Washington Redskins. Those will be the coaches that we will especially profile in you know, go a little bit more in-depth into their bio on next Friday during the sports edition of Kutuchuk Entertainment reports, sports edition, really. So I know. So that will be the special profile on that day. And I'll say the profile person would be the commissioner. Let's profile the commissioner. Roger Goodell. he would be like the profile person of, you know, who is Roger Goodell, you know. And so let's talk about him as the profile person. But the special profile would be AFC East coaches and NFC coaches. Just wanted to break that down to you guys. I'm not on the switchboard yet, but I'm headed that way right now. So I just want to let you all know. But I just want to share that with you right quick. And so you all can, those of you all that already know, but those of you that need to do research, do your research and feel free to call in so we can talk on the subject of those coaches and also on the subject of a profile person of the show next week, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. So that should be fun and interesting on top of other entertainment and lifestyle news and what's going on. You all probably want to know more about what's going on in Mississippi sports too. So definitely we'll be working on that because I know many of you love Mississippi sports from student athletes, from just college and all. Whoa, we have a caller. Oh my goodness, it's Reg Roughneck. I think I recognize that new number. I'm not getting ready to blast your number, Reg. but yeah, so that's what we're talking about in regards to that. So that should be a lot of fun. So I'm headed back into the chat room, and I'm back looking at the switchboard. Like I said, my MyTouch has its own with mine this morning. So that's what I love about my little office in my palm. I can keep my eyes on the switchboard. And I can broadcast with my MyTouch sometimes if I need to. So that's a lot of fun. But super excited, and man, it's something that we didn't talk about that we definitely need to talk about, but we are running out of time. And I have only been off this screen for about 10 minutes. I didn't know if Rich Roughneck was going to call in or not. We've been having a blast of a good time. But right now, you all know I cannot, after my fun party last Saturday with SeaWorld High Fashion, you all know I'm not going to conclude the broadcast this morning without playing the SeaWorld High Fashion. And tomorrow night is going to be a blast of a good time. Because we're going to talk about everything and all things Prince, Prince-related, Prince proteges, Prince past, present, and future. A lot of my purple friends are already said they're calling in. I definitely need to, if you have some Prince cover tunes or Prince remixes that you would like to be played during the broadcast, contact me, email me at culturesharkentertainment@yahoo.com, KulturesHarkEntertainment@yahoo.com. Here is SeaWorld High Fashion, Bahama Mama. And I do have Waves and other songs also on my playlist. Remember Dylan said that you definitely should check out Waves, his first single, the group's first single? Ha-ha! But here's Bahama Mama.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm in Jamaica right now.
Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, did a backflip, then I landed in an opera. I rep that fucking Prada, I came from the water. SeaWorld High Fashion, I'm looking like Madonna. Young Casey Munch, gun stunts, so like this Kate Noma. Creeping down the street, and I'm bumping fucking reggaeton. Nine piece, eight balls, chirping on my telephone. Posted in Jamaica, smoking telephone. Get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice. Then you stir it up, get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice, then you stir it up, and now I'm feeling so tropical, long hair, and it's coming out my follicles, try me, It ain't logical. I rock too much, eyes down, I'm looking like a popsicle. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama mama.
Fashion based in Orlando, native of Pensacola. Hey, that's where Emma Smith is from, right? Pensacola, Florida. Here's Flow Fly Zone. What's up, San Francisco? You all, I guess, hey, I guess some of my West Coast friends say, hey, you haven't been playing in the West Coast. The big shout out to the West Coast listeners and UK listeners and international listeners, period. And I mentioned Louis Tiles, who reminds me a lot of Tony Robbins. Right before the show, right before I came on air, I received an email from Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins, you know, a guru. He will be hosting Piers Morgan's show. It's already been taped on Sunday night on CNN. So those of you that love Tony Robbins or like to know more about Tony Robbins, he will be host. And he's interviewing Steve Wynn and a couple other people on Sunday's broadcast of Piers Morgan tonight on CNN. Just wanted to let you all know, because that was an email that I received right before broadcast. So here's Flo O Fly Zone, and we're going to holler at Reg Rupnik, who apparently called right after I left the switchboard to elaborate more about the head coaches and to discuss that next week we'll be talking about you know, which coaches we'll be talking about on next week, and profiling Roger Goodell also on next Friday.
This is the Cashmere Masterpiece.
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Tonight, yeah, tonight, for real. Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone.
Way clear the board, see the stakes, chips the board. This is magic, black magic, black hammers, black rabbits. Out the hat, figure that, to figure this a nigga. It. Nothing else to think about. I'm sitting here, I'm airing out of my space. My plate is sitting full, pedaling. I flow like medicine. I keep pedaling. Get it in. Tonight we about to somersault. The way we about to run it off and navigate out of state. I'm not fly, that yay. Just break the re-break. Scratch like the sweepstakes and bring it back like rebate. Yeah, style like the late great. So way different pedigree. I'm sort of hard to intake. Mean that literally the kid just killed the beat. A whole nother entity. It's kind of hard to figure me.
You know? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone. The galaxy, I put together masterpieces in your face, battling down south, Catalan pounds with my mans on them. Hit me on the chirp again to piggyback to work again. All at it, all on it. Push till the stars are open. Niggas talk, I'm really on it. Really fly, fly zone, and I'm on it. I can kiss the sky, nigga. Water weight, brick pounds. I can clear the car, nigga. Yeah.
I can clear the card, nigga. Either way, the dice shake. Flow comatose in a boy satellite fly. Welcome to my world, nigga. Next play, the best play. I get them for the low, nigga.
Okay.
Yeah, welcome to the fly zone. Welcome to the fly zone.
Shot Inc. KULTRESHOKENT. So I had not been created like not even 5 minutes. He sent me a friend request. He was literally my first friend on YouTube. And I've been in love with his music and he and his crew since then. Amazing talent. Love him so much. He has Mississippi roots also. That's why you hear references to the down south and East Coast also a lot. Just an awesome talent, I must say. Here's Reg Roughneck. Let's see what's up with him. I wonder, did he watch the game last night? What's up, Reg Roughneck?
What's up, Beth?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing not bad today. I was only had 4 hours of sleep. But...
You doing? You say you're doing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just doing.
But that's important to just be doing. Did you watch the game last night?
No, I really didn't catch a lot of the game.
Okay.
Really hard to catch
it.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it either. A caller had called in earlier talking about Jay Cutler and how Jay Cutler has changed a little, you know.
19 seconds. What's she ragging on Cut Dog for?
Oh, it was a guy. Matter of fact, from Lewis House, home city of Columbus, Ohio. Oh, no. He's not a fan. He wasn't a fan of Jay Cutler, but he recognized him for his good work and has just been some way Jay was playing last night. Just wasn't, as the leader that he should be.
I guess
he had mentioned the porn also that Jay Cutler has been complaining about fans screaming too loud. You know, you complain to fans will stop cheering, period.
Well, I guess so. Cut Dog has always been known to be known as a temperamental artist, so yeah, he has his little perks and everything that rubs people the wrong way.
Even though I didn't see the game last night, I kind of know what he's talking about. But what's on your mind?
Well, I thought that won the game.
Huh?
Who won the game?
Oh, between Green Bay and Chicago?
Right.
Green Bay. And if you're talking about Callaway and Merle last Friday night, Merle blew out our alma mater, Callaway. So, you know, we were talking about Callaway and Merle last Friday, and so I'm sure some listeners that don't know want to know who won that game. Merle blew out Callaway. It was like 41-3, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. That was last week, though, so we won't be dwelling on that.
I know back when we were in school.
When is the Cowboys game with the Seattle? Have it already been played?
No. It's Sunday. I believe it's an afternoon game.
Yeah, I think it is, too. But I know the Cowboys are concerned. Talking about loud fans, I have been reading up where the Cowboys are concerned about those loud fans in Seattle. They say they have some of the most loudest fans in Seattle. Seattle Seahawks. So I had read an article earlier this week where the Cowboys were concerned about their loud fans.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they the twelfth man out there, so they actually have even a banner for the to recognize the 12th man. That's what they call them. And I mean, the loudest places to play in the NFL. Seattle is definitely on top of that list because, you know, between that, Kansas City area,
the Who That Name is definitely loud. Even Coach Sean talks about how loud their fans are when they have the home games.
Right. So, yeah, those like the loudest places. You know, Cleveland can get pretty bad at times, too.
Who?
Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I think Cleveland is like the top. If I'm not mistaken, the article I was reading, I think they said that the other team fans are Cleveland that top Seattle. I think that's what they said in the article. I think that's what the writer wrote, that the Cleveland fans were the loudest. I was kind of surprised because I thought maybe other teams like the Giants or the Jets or somebody, especially the Giants, but I think Cleveland is like right above the Seattle crowd, where they're like the top loudest.
Right. They get pretty rowdy themselves.
I figure the Cowboys fans can get pretty loud too, right, in home games.
No, not really, because Cowboys fans are so different. They really, I mean, in my honest opinion, you know, they're not as passionate of fans as, you know, as the teams we mentioned. And I mean, and they can turn on the Cowboys fast. All it takes is three and outs, and then all of a sudden it gets quiet and they start booing. I mean, they will turn on their own team, and it's all about as long as we winning, then they happy. When they losing, then it's kill the quarterback, shoot the coach, and Jerry Jones need to die.
The real Cowboy lifestyle.
I think even Smith talked some flack about that once before. You know, someone asked him a question about what do you think about the fans, and that was just like the wrong thing to ask Emmitt Smith. Emmitt's not gonna bite his tongue about whatever he feels. He just gonna say it. But he definitely said that one thing he appreciated about the Philadelphia Eagles fans is that win, lose, or draw, they are in the game and they're backing their team. So he said Cowboys fans are very simple.
But you know what, fans, they might not be the loudest, but they are the very passionate. Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah.
I happen to be friends with a lot of long-time Chicago Bears fans. And, you know, like you say, we as Cowboy fans, I think we can get friends. You're right, we can get loud if it looks like they're going to win a championship.
as long as we're beating the stuffing out the Giants, as long as we're beating the Redskins, or playing our rival teams and we winning, yeah, we can get like that. You know, when we think we're about to win the game, yeah, they get in it. But
that's the point you made, because that's what the cheering and the loudness is for, to motivate your team to win.
Well, and then if it's going to help the other team lose by, you know, them not knowing a snap count, yeah, they'll do it then. You know, they can be strategic when they want to be. But the rest of the time, you know, they sitting around talking about, you know, the job or talking about what happened last week or here's, you know, I'm surprised they wouldn't be, they, you know, when Romo goes to try to get the, try to feel a snap for the kick, don't drop the ball, you know, they can be very cynical at best to their own team.
Wow. What were you saying?
No, I was just, you know, I was going to make a reference to how the 49ers fans.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They can be very hot. And then, you know, definitely the Raiders fans. But,
oh, yeah.
No, you're not going to see Cowboy fans dressed up like the Raider fans. You're just not going to.
No, keep on going. Yeah, you're making a good point because Cowboy fans do get that way, but that's when we look like we're definitely going to go to all the way in the playoffs or at least.
Right. We got to be like in the championship game. And
yeah.
We're favored by a certain amount and, you know, we can sometimes get all out in there with what ourselves then. But as far as, you know, the week of the game, 2-3 days before the game, you know, you're not going to see tailgate parties all week or whatever, or pep rallies or nothing. Now, it's just not in us as far as Cowboy fans.
Wow, yeah, that's a good point because we would cowboy ourselves out in all the gear, head to toe. But that's a good point. But when they're winning, that's a good we're down with them.
Cowboy fans start losing. Cowboy fans lose, man. They'll be throwing that stuff in the shredder. They will be having a bonfire out there burning up Cowboy stuff. I mean...
Yeah, because Cousin Linda, I mean, she's like a reformed Cowboy fan. And I think she had Cowboy stuff everywhere. And I think she said even, you know, I don't know, I think she got rid of some of her Cowboy stuff, Cowboy gear. And I'm like, man, this is stuff that's wrong.
You know, back to what I was going to say about Emmitt Smith. I remember Emmitt's, I think it was his second year in the league. Second or third year, and I remember when the Cowboys was playing the Oilers. It was a real good game because the game went to overtime. That was the game that the Cowboys was, you know, really making a name for themselves, and they played the Oilers down like to they were like tooth and nail. They were going back. It was a real good game. It went to overtime. The Cowboys was driving down the field, had just about gotten in the field goal range, and they handed the ball off to Emmitt. Emmitt broke a couple of tackles. He was in the open field. I think he got down to like about the 15 or the 10-yard line. Someone hit Emmitt from behind, fumbled the football, and the Oilers recovered. And because, matter of fact, the Cowboys had won the coin toss. So the game plan was to win the game and keep the Oilers off the field. So that's when Warren Moon had his little quartet of receivers and everything. And, you know, they knew if the Oilers got on the field, they was not going to win the game. So when he fumbled the ball, the Oilers got the ball back, and of course, 3-4 plays later, the Oilers went down the field, kicked the game on the field, going to beat the Cowboys. That particular night, there was an Luther Vandross concert in Dallas, and they was naming off some of the celebrities that was at the game. I mean, not the game, at the concert. And when they said Emmitt Smith was at the Luther Vandross concert, man, he got booed clean out the arena.
I think I remember hearing that. Wow.
Emmitt was already upset.
Yes,
I mean, the man was already upset for losing the game. But when they booed that, I mean, he got brought to tears. He was so hurt. But that was the first time he ever got cheered so bad. I mean, it was like a lynch mob up in there. But, I mean, and after that, Emmitt never forgot that. He never forgot about that. That was actually one of the lowest points of his career. Because, I mean, he was already beyond uncontrollable before the concert. He called himself one of the concerts to get about losing the game.
And
they wrote it up.
And been recognized for his celebrity. And then he got booed. Lord Jesus.
Right. So, yeah, he was. That did it for him. Then after that, he realized at that point, he said, as long as Cowboys are winning, they love them. But as soon as they're losing, they can care less about them. And, I'm just being honest. I mean, look at what happened to Michael Irvin right during the time. That was when the Cowboys was winning, when all of Michael Irvin's tawdry secrets start oozing out. See, if he'd have been in New York, you know, the only time I've ever known anyone to turn on anyone as bad as that was I'm not going to say the Giants fans, but definitely the way Plaxico Burress got turned on by New York, by the Giants. I mean, you would have thought Plaxico Burress dropped the football in the Super Bowl when they beat the Patriots the first time, the way they treated him for shooting himself in the leg.
Oh, you're right.
Because Michael Bloomberg definitely has shown what type of a first-rate jerk he can be. And just how it's all about him and his persona he wants to try to exude. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you heard recently that City of New York is banning soft drinks. And everything, and and all that's about Michael Bloomberg. I mean, I've never seen a mayor become such a communist figure in such a major city like that. But yeah, he's bordering on being a monarch. I hereby decree no soda is going to be in New York City. New York City.
Wow.
No, I guess when you're a billionaire and you're used to having your own way, this is the product of being, that's what you call a monarch complex. But he wants to dictate how much sugar you have, how many calories are in your meal. You know, every now and then I love to go to Church's Chicken so I can have me a box of grease with my chicken. I mean, that's just the way I am. I want some high cholesterol French fries. You know, I don't want sodium-free and cholesterol-free fries. What's the point? You know, I want a nice, big, fat, thick, choke-your-neck type of a hamburger. You know, so I shouldn't have to feel that my meals is being discriminated against. You know, you're a nice big bowl of chili. You know, I mean, that's the way I am about, you know, about my intake of food sometimes. But not to, you know, but not to regret so much. But as far as, you know, the fans, you really want to see my point about
Cowboys. Keep talking for a minute. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away. So keep talking about what you're talking about just for a half a second. Here.
Sure.
Keep talking about what you're talking about, okay?
Yeah, right.
I'm just walking away for just a half a second. Here.
Half a second. All right.
Keep talking about what you're talking about. I know.
But, you know, if you really want to see my point about Cowboys and everything, all the Cowboys got to do is lose a game anytime this month. And all this air that we done built up after beating the Giants, we'll see right now, Cowboys is like, we're all the way now. We're back. You know, the team is back. The morale is up. Everybody's feeling invincible now because they're so impressed by the Cowboys' victory and everything. But if they go out there to Seattle and lose, oh, man, Romo is going to be burned in effigy. You know, it's going to be screw Romo, duh, boo, all that. And then they're going to be talking about everything from the, you know, the times when the Giants have beaten the Cowboys. They're going to be talking about Romo's ineptitudes and everything. All that's going to be highlighted. And you know, and that's the one thing that me being a citizen of Dallas, and I've lived in Dallas, you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 23 of my 45 years have been out here more. But that's one thing I've always had a problem with, is that the Cowboy fans are too fickle. It's just like a spoiled wife, you know.
I had a good powder room. Okay.
You know what I mean? It's just like I was just saying that the Cowboy fans, it's like a spoiled wife. As long as the husband's out there singing like Babyface or something, I'll pay your rent, I'll cook your dinner, I'll run your bath water for, you know, as long as you're doing the white food, spoiling the pants on the white food, everything's fine. But as soon as you go through a little bad rut or something, and all of a sudden they start turning to Janet Jackson, like, what have you done for me lately? So that's the nature of the Cowboy fan.
Wow.
And I know some people may think that sounding callous of me to say about my own fans, but hey, I know them, and that's exactly the way they are.
Wow.
But anybody who's really true and know that, know I'm telling the truth. God, I mean, us growing up, we were kids. Growing up being Saints fans was out there. They were going to the game. They would be drunk. They would be happy. They're going to be having fun no matter what. Saints be getting beat 34-0, and they still out here cheering and having a good time.
No.
I don't know. I remember. Matter of fact, I remember this one year. I think this was like one of the last years that Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was operating in Atlanta. And you had a little brigade of Saints fans used to drive from New Orleans to Atlanta. I remember I think the Saints either shut the Falcons out or they beat them bad. And I remember that game that the Falcons fans were so angry that I think about the early part of the fourth quarter, the Falcons were so out of the Falcons playing, so I think it was like 35-0 or something like that. And all of the Falcon fans just left. And I mean, it got to the point, it had to be like maybe 6-7 minutes left in the game. And it was nothing but Saints fans left. You know, you had just like one or two sections of nothing but Saints fans. They were the only fans at the stadium cheering. And I mean, shooting. And it was just so funny that day, and they was making a point about it was a broadcasting game and everything, and they just focused on that area, and all you saw was just the Saints fans just jumping up and down cheering. I remember that. I think that was somewhere like I want to say something like the early to mid 80s. But I can recall that game. But yeah, it was nothing but Saints fans left. Because the Falcons fans just had enough.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, but like the Eagle fans, now, like I said, those are some fanatical. They emphasize the word fanatic fans because. I mean, I know when I used to drive trucks, I could wear my Cowboys gear, you know, my hat, my leather jacket, and everything that I used to love. I would be, you know, I could go anywhere. I could be in Chicago. No one's giving me no flack about it because, you know, as long as we're wearing.
I remember the Cowboys was the team that you love or love to hate.
Right. Well, that's the way it always been with the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but you go to, but I mean, when I was in this little town outside of Pittsburgh called Harmony, Pennsylvania, they got a little twisted over me watching wearing their Cowboys. And I mean, and now that's Western Pennsylvania. God help me if I'd have been in Eastern Pennsylvania. Wearing Cowboys gear. Cause, as a matter of fact, there is a town in Eastern Pennsylvania called Easton, Pennsylvania. It's right there on the New Jersey border. That could have turned out a very bad situation because the closer you get to the Eagle area.
We have about 7 more minutes.
Okay. Well, yeah, but like I said, closer you get to Philadelphia, I mean, they're very fanatic. They're very passionate about the Eagles. Now, the thing about Philadelphia, however, they don't like anybody other than their own team. You know what I mean? The Philadelphia Flyers, the Eagles, 76ers. And I'm trying to think of what other I think I named them all. The Phillies, the Eagles, and the 76ers. If you're wearing anything other than those, they're not liking it. I mean, it don't matter what team it is. It could be the Broncos or it could be the San Diego Chargers, which would be a totally neutral team, but in Philadelphia, if you're not wearing Eagles, get the flip out. No, they're not trying. They're not having it. Like, you remember when Beyonce and Destiny's Child was performing at the halftime when the 76ers was playing the Lakers in the finals? That was the only time Allen Iverson got into the finals. Kelly Michelle was wearing the 76ers gear, and Beyonce chose to wear the Lakers. Now, they was trying, when they was singing and doing the halftime show, it was supposed to be, they were supposed to be neutral. Now, Kelly Michelle was trying, they didn't want to get nothing thrown at them. So they said, well, we're wearing the 76ers. But Beyonce felt like, well, since I have, you know, I am the, you know, I'm the one that have all the fans, she decided to wear the Lakers and found out the hard way that was sacrilege and they was not having it.
Just like I found out the hard way when I wore Finley's Dallas Mavericks jersey to the Saints first day of practice in 07. Oh, my God. I thought just because I had on sports gear and the Cowboys and the Saints are my favorite teams, I thought it was cool. As soon as I approached the area where you walk into the camp, man, those Saints guys got all on me. No, I'm not walking up in there. You guys remember? They're like, no, you're not walking up in here with representing Texas. And they just hired them. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. You thought you was going to get half a pass because it wasn't a football team. And you wearing the Maverick stuff, but no.
But that's like, wait a second, that was the Mavs are the Cowboys' brothers, I guess, you know. Like the Hornets and the Saints now. I'm like, oh,
right, man. Well, no.
They literally got on me. You can ask my, because it was my niece Keena's jersey. So you can ask Keena,
you're lucky you get pelted with some eggs.
Yeah, I hurried up and got me some Saints stuff.
No, you can't do that. Can't do that, boo-boo. No, they're not going to.
Honey, boo-boo.
They not gonna.
I was looking like a honey boo-boo when they told me, oh, no, you're not. I thought I was going to turn my phone. I was like, oh, my God.
That was a smart move, my friend.
So, had Beyonce with the Lakers jersey on.
Right. I mean, she thinks they were booing her because they was hating on her. But no, it wasn't the reason. They was hating her because she was wearing the Lakers.
Exactly. And it's weird because of the word spread it. Oh, somebody up in here with some. Pretty much like you said, if you see Dallas, they just saw Cowboys, I guess. The word spread. Somebody had the nerve to come up in here.
Right. I mean, that would have been like, excuse me, that would have been like Lady Gaga wearing that meat suit to a barbecue convention.
Exactly.
You asked for that. No,
exactly.
That was. Yeah, they were. Or better yet, wearing a meat suit to a vegetarian's luncheon. Yeah, that would have set people off. That wasn't a good thing to do, none whatsoever.
Exactly.
I mean, because you got a lot of people that are not just hating on the team, they're just hating on the fact it's Dallas. Because Dallas is not a well-liked city, depending on where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
but New Orleans, they got a little angst about Dallas now. Quiet as a cat. The one team, I mean, not so much team, the one city that hates Dallas more than any other place you would think would be New York, but Houston. Houston hates anything about Dallas.
When you mention the Cowboys and Houston Oilers, I used to love that rivalry, that in-state rivalry between the Houston Oilers and the Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like Texas A&M and Texas.
Yeah.
The Aggies and the Longhorns. That's a bloodlust right there. How many minutes we got left?
We're right at the time. So any last thoughts?
Start wrapping it up.
Yeah, any predictions or any last minute thoughts or any predictions regarding Seattle and Cowboys?
Well, I'm riding with the Cowboys this year. I was very motivated and very impressed by Jerry Jones calling out the Giants, and we were going to whoop that tail, with lack of better words, and we went out there and we did it. So I think that's a very big boost, and that's going to be we're going to follow the lead on that and see where we go. I think Winston's going to be in better shape this game, and so I'm predicting the Cowboys going to do good and beat the Seahawks. But the Seahawks is definitely a team I wouldn't take lightly because they got a pretty good quarterback this year. And of course, but Seattle is always a type of place that you never can take Seattle lightly.
Exactly. Coach Pete is definitely a good coach, and the team is a good team, too.
Right. Pete Carroll definitely got those boys believing they can run through fire now. So that's definitely his team now. I think, this is his third year now as the coach?
Yeah,
I think it's about his third or fourth year. So this is definitely his team when he's got these guys really believing they can do something this year. So it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah. Big shout out to the Houdat Nation. And all other teams, too, that's having a blast this weekend, and college games and high school games and also junior high. Just shout out to all of you. Yeah, I tried my best to play some hype music, get everybody motivated this morning. But Friday's here, so if you're not motivated, I don't know what's wrong.
Exactly.
Thank you. But next week, profiling of Roger Goodell. And this morning, we just did an overview of all 32 head coaches and coaches that were before them with their teams. So next, we'll pretty much break them down, AFC and NFC, and in future shows.
Mm-hmm.
This is going more in detail about certain coaches and their teams. Yeah. So, but this morning, I don't know if you listened to the early part of it, but we pretty much did a breakdown of all 32 head coaches. Because, that way it's more interactive too. Others can call in and participate with us more. Of course, we talk about our favorite teams, and we do our best to be objective and talk about other teams. But there are those veteran sports fans, and then there are newcomers to loving and learning about the NFL, and then the way personnel changes. There are so many new hires. I did realize a lot of new hires for this year, but literally I think I named maybe six coaches that were hired this year. You think somebody's still working with the head coach in one team and their head coach in another team.
That's the nature of our league now. You're winning. If you're winning, you got a job. But if you're not, it's like, what have you done for me lately? Because a lot of people forgot. Jack Del Rio is no longer coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And Jeff Fisher is with the Rams now.
Mike Munchak is now coaching the Titans. And that's going to take a while to get used to.
Exactly. I felt kind of weird saying that.
But you notice the St. Louis Rams got a new attitude now because of Fisher.
I noticed.
Yeah,
but where's Raheem Morris now?
I don't know. I'm sure he's got an assistant's job somewhere, but that's a very good question. But well, from what I'm hearing about Greg Schiavo being the new coach, he brought a new swag and a type of approach and attack, even though for all intents and purposes, Rondé Barber is basically the head coach of the Buccaneers, because he's been the lead dog there. And you just add something else you don't see these days is guys playing for the same team their whole entire career.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And Rondé Barber and Ray Lewis, I think, are the two guys that – huh?
Yeah, I was just saying, in the NFL and NBA.
Right, because those two guys, Rondé Barber and Ray Lewis, are the two guys now that have been playing their whole entire career for one team. And, Hines Ward retired last year because, he had got...
I thought Ray played for Atlanta or somebody early on. He been with the same team the whole time.
Right. No, Ray Lewis was in jail in Atlanta for almost a year.
Okay.
Right.
He just visited Atlanta a lot. But before that trouble happened, I know he used to frequent Atlanta a lot. But he just...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was the hottest city, closest to the city he worked in. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
But Ray Lewis been a Baltimore Raven the whole time because he was the first player drafted by the Ravens after they left Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Ray's been a high-stepping, proud Baltimore Raven the whole time. And have you seen that new commercial with Ray Lewis and some little girl? Both of them stomping and doing a strut together, and they got them both got like a little free photo of them with their arms all out and their mouths all wide open and everything. Have you seen that?
I don't know. If I had, I would remember. I think I have, but I don't. But then I'm thinking I haven't because I'll be wanting to talk about that, so I'm going to check that one out. I've seen a commercial with Ray Lewis, but I don't think I've seen that one. So I'm about to check that one out. You must like that commercial.
I mean, if you see how both of them look standing next to each other in freeze frame, and they standing there, both got their arms all out and their heads back and their mouth wide open, so they yelling and strutting together. Yeah, it is funny. It is.
Wow.
It is really funny. I think NFL Network is. It is promoting it, but
okay. I have to check out their website then, because haven't gotten my new cable provider yet, so I'm gonna have to check out the website and check it out. Wow,
you gotta check it out. It is hilarious. I mean, it always looks like that's his daughter or something. The way they got it going.
Wow.
But,
well, I can't thank you enough. And what were you saying?
No, I don't know. I was waiting to hear what you about to say.
Oh, I was just going to thank you again. Time to conclude. Thanking you again. Can't thank you enough for calling in this morning, sharing your perspective. You all do holler at Reg on Facebook, don't you? Friend him on Facebook. And also let everyone know your Facebook groups.
All right. It's Roughnecks League of Extraordinary Ladies and Gentlemen. Feel free to... come in, chime in. I'll personally put you in as a member. So, we cover every topic, any and all topics. We
cover all subject matters in his Facebook group. All subject matters, everything, anything about life is discussed in the Facebook group.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about the elderly lady who mouthed off at the cop in Keene, Texas.
I've seen that story yesterday morning, like over and over again. But she was trying to let him know she had the pee-pee, too. She told him up front, I got
to
use the bathroom.
I ain't trying to hear that.
Is that the But do you think he should have been so forceful with her?
Hey, she shouldn't have been so forceful with him. She the one that she was shot her mouth off. I mean, she shot her mouth off and then talking down
to
him like, you know.
I'm talking about to the point of dragging her to the ground.
Hey, he asked her if she wanted to go to jail. She said, yeah, you want to take me? Yeah, she dared him. You don't dare a cop to, right, you don't dare a cop to, you ask if you want to go to jail, you know, and she's like basically daring him to do that. And okay, you're under arrest.
Wow,
but
so that's your topic.
People don't know.
You're going to get a lot of responses in that on that subject.
Well,
wow.
A lot of people don't know is, in spite of what happened, she still didn't get arrested because she just got her 2 citations. She got cited for a failure to show ID because she did refuse to give him the driver's license. She refused to show ID. That's what got the whole thing started. She refused to show her ID, and that is a no-no. That means,
and I know it's something when you have to use the restroom, but I guess if she could have quickly showed her ID, she could have went quickly on to the restroom.
Well, the man did tell her, if you show me your ID, you know, we'll do it. But she's like, well, you're wasting my time. You know, you need to hurry up. You know, what are you bothering me for? She seemed mortified over the fact she even got pulled over. She was already in a crappy mood.
Well, she been pulled over before anyway. She ran a light or a speed?
60. She was going 66 in a 50-mile-an-hour zone.
Oh.
15 miles over, you're getting pulled over.
Oh, maybe she was speeding because she had to go use the bathroom, though. Maybe that was her point.
Hey,
oh, okay.
You know what? You know how many times people have used that? God knows how many times I've said it, and then, you know what? I actually had to go.
Well, she probably did have to go to the restroom, but I guess she should have went ahead and quickly showed her ID to.
She went on showed her ID. The guy would have been more compliant and throughout the whole situation.
I know after all that pulling and dragging and talking, she wet her pants before all that was over.
Well, mighty funny she didn't use it on herself, so she must not have had to go that bad.
Because after all that, if you didn't have to use the bathroom, it'll come out.
As much as
I have to go to the restroom, I know.
Knowing people
that have to use the restroom on a frequently basis, you know, you're like, okay, but I see your point, too. Wow.
Right.
But
that's
a fun discussion session today.
Right. Well, normally anybody knows, you know, I usually don't have any love for police, especially when they're all they're doing is out there writing tickets. Now, that's me personally. I don't, but hey, in that case, the law was being administered equally, so... Gets no complaint for me.
Oh, what if it was your mother?
Pardon?
What if it was your mom or my mom?
Well, if my mom had been acting like that, I would have, you know, you got audio and video now. If my mom was acting that way, I'd have said, well, Mom, you asked for that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, honestly.
Oh, good point. Because we've been seeing stories for the past month. It's been some wild stories regarding law enforcement and females. Wow. Because I know about a couple of weeks ago, this Caucasian nurse was just bammed and slammed up against the car like it was nothing. So, yeah, that's a good point. Wow.
I think
it's kind of sad, too, in regards to law enforcement. Someone who's, I know you're friends with a lot of law enforcement. A lot of our friends are in law enforcement. So, sometimes the image doesn't look so hot, but then you're right. The perspective of looking at it from both sides of the situation is also important. And what do we see on video? You know,
right. Put it like this. Thank God for the video, because I promise you. The way they're trying to go after these people now, I mean, if it wasn't for that video, man. I mean, you would have had a whole bunch. The King Police Department would have had a whole lot of flack coming down.
Wow.
But looking at that video, the officer did nothing wrong. The officer didn't even swear at her, not even one time.
Oh, wow.
I mean, she was just real. She really took it to a level that she shouldn't have took it to. And I mean, you know, it kind of goes back to that time when Zsa Zsa Gabor was ticked off for the officer pulling her over.
I love Zsa Zsa Gabor. And shout out to Zsa Zsa Gabor and the Prince. Love you all. And what?
Right. And Zsa Zsa was just angry and upset for being even hassled or pulled over. And then she slapped the cop.
Wow.
And that, you know, that's a definite no-no, because she better be glad she wasn't in Texas. That's all I can say.
Well, but she was in a lot of hot water. I love Zsa Zsa. I network with she and her husband, but she's been so sick now, so I mainly network with the Prince. But, yeah, I remember when Zsa Zsa was in hot water then, though, but she would have really been in hot water in Texas, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that water would have been scalding out in Texas.
So check out Reg Roughneck on his Facebook page and his group. You really can interact with him at his Facebook group and other members of the Facebook group, too. But remember, tomorrow night, the next broadcast, at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, weekend edition, nothing and everything, all theme Prince, past, present, and future, talking strictly Prince. Of course, some entertainment and lifestyle news, but we're getting ready for a proper party on tomorrow night. Prince is kicking off his concert series, Welcome to Chicago, on the 24th, 25th, and 26th. We'll be announcing more dates across America, especially in the Midwest. I think his next series will be in Detroit. That's what I've been hearing. And also, everyone knows he's been working on presenting concerts in his hometown of Minneapolis. And I'm sure he's doing some things at Paisley Park and in St. Paul. And I hear that he's working on dates also down here down south. So hopefully we'll have more information regarding future dates also tomorrow, but it's nothing but a purple party. You want to talk about Prince? Feel free to call tomorrow, Reg Roughneck, at 9 o'clock. If you're not on a date.
All right, really? Well, hey, you got to be shout to the purple one.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun night tomorrow night. Have a party like we did last Saturday. A lot of fun talking about Prince, and hopefully we'll get some surprise calls also from maybe Shelby J or some Prince MPG members, or maybe from other past members and proteges. But definitely my purple friends all around the world, call in, UK friends, Australia friends, you know, because I appreciate you so much for sharing videos and music and everything with us and with me. Therefore, Prince is back here in the States. I want to share as much information with you guys also regarding what Prince is doing here in America as he kick off another leg of the Welcome to America tour. Now it's broken down into the cities. So he's kicking off Welcome to Chicago. And it's benefiting for good cause. I mean, it's really benefiting the city of Chicago. So each city he visits, I guess he's going to help the communities. So he definitely need to come head on down south. I guess Detroit said you need to head on this too. So all the cities looking forward to Prince and the MPG stopping through, because it's going to help the communities also economically. I want to remind you all also that Kevin Dorsey and his cousin will be returning in the near future to talk about, and a lot of you all have been waiting for the part two of the interview from the late spring regarding the opening of Fairway Auto. Well, it's not open yet because they've had to go through, red tape with dealing with the city of Jackson, and they're really really committed to opening the business in the city of Jackson. So they're returning in the near future, so I keep you all updated in regards to Kevin Dorsey, former professional tennis player, longtime friend of mine, his cousin Ted Anderson, returning to talk about the opening of Fairway Autos. But again, it's not open yet because of the locations they wanted. They ran into some road bumps or red tape. Many of you know what I'm talking about, that's in the business world or working on getting in the business world.
They like to say BS.
Yeah, so you know, you are like some people probably saying, yeah, tell me something new, you know. Process is
real stuff. Somewhere home, no.
Yeah, but okay. I guess I'll be talking with you and chatting with you. I'm being nosy, seeing what's going on in your chat room. I know our counterpoint of view is going to be on that topic.
Are we all? Yeah, I'm here. For a second, I thought we were checking out. I guess we still got enough signal. Then we wind up talking about something else, and the next thing we'll be in the middle of talking, and then we get dropped.
The show. I was concluding the show and saying that I'll be checking out the conversation regarding that subject in your chat room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you again. And you all, let's just root on for your favorite teams. May the best teams win this weekend. Shout out to the MLB and NBA. We're waiting for preseason. Preseason's not far away. We have less than a month. Yep, for the NBA, but we're second week of the NFL regular season, and this is good. If you're not ready for football, then I don't know what to say because it's here.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna run it all. We're gonna run it all the way down. I mean, got the rest of the year, then we got January, and we got February. I'm all rolled up for some football now.
Yep.
All good in my world.
Exactly. Well, thank you all. And remember, follow me at Pinterest.com/CultureShockBeth, KULTRESHOK Beth. And also email me at CultureShockEntertainment@yahoo.com, KULTRESHOKENTERTAINMENT@yahoo.com. That's a lot to say, but I have to spell it because it's not spelled with K's and not C's. But, thank you again for your support, and it's just been a great time and just a fun time, and we'll be chatting with you and networking with you all later on today. And big shout out to Gerald Jabot, also B-Day Radio, what's up? And also all the other local radio stations, KXI and JMI and KXI 106.7. Power 105 in New York City, thank you so much for your support. And all the invites, thank you for all the invites to your different events. Can't wait to resume traveling so I can surprise some of you guys at some of these fantastic events, especially my friends in Dallas. Oh, my God, you all be looking out for a girl in L.A. and, oh, my God, New York and Miami. You guys know you all can party. My friends in Minneapolis, my goodness, I was invited to an event this Sunday in Minneapolis. We'd love to be there. But thank you so much. But thanks again, Reg Roughneck. Guess we'll end the show.
For sure, for sure.
Okay, well, thank you all. Be good.
Don't forget to write.
The Sports Edition Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Here's my friend, Karis. I guess it's taking forever to start. It's something when you get. Shout out to Guitar Center too. Looking forward to class number 3 tomorrow. Shout out to Steve Guitar Center.
Bars is a promise to myself. Put some bad shit on the shelf. With whole new ways of dealing with the pain and strife. But you might have to swap it as a guy. I think that pain is right and strife is good by right. Now I teach the truth. I'm going to teach you the life. I'm my own worst critic. When I spit it, best believe it, because it's legit. I used to run from the conflicts that arise. Only the cause of pain in mine and others' lives. Life's too precious to be living in the haze. Haze affects you, and I'm stopping in my life today. At least the stuff that I can control, and I'll leave the rest for God to control. No more of those cowardly actions. This is it, as I stated. You got it to the master. I will go on the beat of bone. I think the best, and I realize where I'm from. Been raised right from the beginning, but you didn't tell me. live right, just step forward in my fresh apparel. This path is if my life is a mission. It is, but only through self-affliction. I've been fooled all my life, and I've taken for granted that thesis is I take the seed and plant it and watch it grow, hopefully breaking out the static. This is it, as I take this to God and the matter. This is it. I may smoke square every once in a while, but I'll quit. Put that on file. Time to live legitimately and get back to society. I want to contribute positively through any possibility, whether it be by design, terminology, or in a factory. I'll be happy with whatever doors open. Of course, I'm still going to have some hurdles. That's okay, because I got the best support for my trouble. It's time to start stepping in the right direction and prove myself by my thoughts and my actions. I know that the world will still be as tough as it's been. Just now, I myself will no longer be a problem. God knows that I'm not lying, and that's all I need. Hopefully others will notice I'm going to have water to see. I want to make life better for all with these two hands. This is it, and I'm going to try the best that I can.